And 96.7 FM, The Tick.
Previously on Bad Radio.
Next up, we have some old named Buzz Aldrin.
Okay. Apparently I haven't scared you enough.
Dude, who wants this?
Walked on the Moon was in 30 Rock.
Who wants it, though? Is it Tom Guest?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think space is super gay. I think astronauts are gay.
Disagree.
I think space is gay.
Right up there with dinosaurs.
No.
This is what they were talking about. How much you look like, I would say, Brody on Homeland.
That would be a tremendous compliment to me. I'm a big fan of that guy.
You watch Homeland?
I do.
Have you ever been told you look like Brody on Homeland?
You know, I think in general, and this has happened to me since I was a youth, anybody who's a redhead, you know, I look like that guy.
Oh, come on.
My brothers
have
been doing
that. Exactly like that guy.
I don't know about that. Again, I think that would be a compliment. He's a real star.
I mean, Danny,
he's had four at bats.
Four at bats.
I realize that.
But look, for me, you guys are
God, your dog piling is such, you know, I understand the relevance of it, but it's just like you're like this pit bull just tethered on a leash, just ready. You just couldn't wait to go there.
No,
I just don't understand your hatred for that guy.
I don't have it. What did I say yesterday?
You're like the mad dog.
You are, man.
If we can re-rack the tape, you can say, you know what? As much as I hated Chris Davis last year, when we had him on this year, I want nobody to succeed more than him.
It's not really? The most important thing of last night.
Well, we just spent 5 minutes on CJ, Danny.
If you spent the most important thing, you didn't. 5 minutes talking about CJ's contract situation.
Such kiss asses. It's unbelievable.
All right, Danny, he's really getting mad.
I don't give a damn.
That's it. I'm going back against Chris Davis. I hope he gets shipped off to AAA at the end of the weekend. At the end of the 10-game homestand.
Well, I hope you get moved to Norm's show.
That would be you way before me, kiddo. Trust me. So awful.
So just very simply, on tier one would be Mike, Corby, Norm, Donnie, Dan, Bob,
yes.
Me, George, Gordo. The nine,
tier one.
The nine full-time weekday hosts are tier one.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
On tier two, there is nobody. It is currently vacant.
Why?
It just happens that way.
Well, how do you get to tier two?
Well, when somebody
you have to work your way up.
When that happens, we'll know.
Was it vacant last year?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
All right.
Has it always been vacant?
It's always been vacant, as long as the tier system has been in place.
So the top fill-in guys don't get tier two?
No.
All right, now who's tier three?
No.
That's very important.
If you have a weekend show, that can't make tier two.
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
So since tier two is vacant.
So tier three would be Fernando, Sean, Jer, TC, Saroy, Mino, Danny, and Ty Walker.
Jake.
Tier three.
Jake? And Jake.
Jake.
Guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes! Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
Okay, so all you gotta do is say your name, say present, and say I never listened to Bob and Dan on the table. Got it?
So Ryan Brock of present. I don't listen to Bob and Dan on the ticket. I'm Ryan Bruckoff, present, and I don't listen to Bob and Dan on the ticket.
What do you think of going sausage first, though?
Hey, P1s, right about now, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket presents the Bad Radio Program. Hey, P1s. Today's special occasions include the boys react to yesterday's big announcement, a closer look at the XFL and Landry Jones, and we have Business Tuesday!
Okay.
Also, the vibrant Julie Dobbs, What's a Mino Fish, Me the Killer, and R.I.P. Bob. And now, two guys who can't decide who the alpha will be because the beta supplies the stash, Jake Kemp and Dan McDowell!
All right.
The weather is changing out there.
Everything means everything.
Nets or no nets?
You were not around here
when we first heard Everything Means Everything. But it was when... do you know Bob? I used to do a show with a guy named Bob.
From The Athletic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, girls.
We were up here on a weekend, because I think we did a weekend show back then. They let us. They stripped it from us later, but we were up here and we saw Same. Mike Reiner. You know Mike Reiner? He used to be on The Ticket.
From the hallway.
And he was up here, like, making, like, he was doing production. I think it's the last time I ever saw him do it, but it was, like, really in the year 2000 in January. And he said, Everything Means Everything. New Hardline theme, new this. They're throwing out the format and starting over. Just because he thought, you know, you need just to change things up, even if things are going well. So in that same vein, even when things are going well, to change things up, I say to you today, Jake, everything means everything. Like, let's just throw it all up and see what happens.
Now, is everything...
Speaking of throwing it all up.
Still somewhere else and you get there in a car? Because I've kind of thought of those as the two axioms of his career.
Like, that's all you've taken from his career?
But both...
From a Hall of Fame career?
Both very prescient.
I guess people are just too busy to do too much about anything.
What about the diner quote?
You ever get the feeling there's something going on out there we just don't know anything about? I don't think it's a stretch that a civilization after ours will discover all of Mike's statements like that and treat him like he's Aristotle.
Oh, yeah.
that you could write it and
put something together.
Have full classes taught at university level. Like, let's deconstruct what he means when he says everything is going on out there a lot more than we think it is.
What does this mean?
Well, because just think of it.
Right.
Think of how the major seismic shift, ooh, I was going to say shift, that occurred yesterday in the radio landscape here in DFW. Those things didn't just happen yesterday. Like, things were going on that nobody knew anything about.
Right.
And things today are going on that we don't know anything about. In fact, they were going on, here's the thing, much like... The ball player who will be upset because he heard he was traded on Twitter. I find out about these things yesterday at 3:30. That's when I was first informed.
Same.
I didn't know anything about this. And all of a sudden it just happens. But like a good soldier, that Jake and I are both good soldiers, we then go march. You've told us to march. And that's all we're doing. Head down. That's what we've been trained to do.
That's not all we're doing. We're also doing Epstein on the hour.
Ooh, wow. We've already got some changes.
At 1:15.
Keep going. I didn't know you were going to assert yourself like this, but let's do it.
Well, I thought you're my new co-host, right? So
yeah.
I wanted to kind of make this easy for you.
Was and tier one muscles.
Yeah.
No, and we had like a meeting, but you didn't mention any of this in the meeting.
At 1:15... Is vaping actually good for you?
Interesting.
1:55, disbanding NASA, a discussion. And 2:15, we will rank the Limp Bizkit albums.
Can't wait.
And that might be every Tuesday. We may just have like a series like NPR does or something where we just sort of circle back to those and keep the conversation going.
So Twitter... I think we found out...
That might be a segment.
That's a segment. So, Twitter.
Basically in the Pro Bowl yesterday.
So.
Well, Twitter yesterday, I think, made us feel like we were famous for a day. Maybe it's going to make it 2 days or so, but... The reaction to the big announcement was gigantic. And it was impossible to refresh quick enough to read everything. And I gave it a good effort for like an hour or two, but then stopped just because of exhaustion. And so, like, I don't know how actual famous people, like, I'll say Dez. Dez could do like one tweet, and then he'll get the reaction that it takes like the ticket changing their lineup for the first time in 20 years. Like, we do that. We can't generate the kind of reaction Dez can with like one tweet.
He can post an emoji of a snake and get what we got yesterday.
But I couldn't take, I like, at one point I had to just stop. Like, stop. If you tweeted something after, like, I don't know, 5 p.m. or so, I just don't know what it was. Because it then, they all started to blend together the, this is horrible, Jake sucks, this is great, I really like the idea, the, oh, I'm really sad, Bad Radio's not together in its original form anymore. Like, it just all became one big...
Who gets Abby and
ball
Brittany?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of debate. No, I'm with you. And doesn't that make it seem even more insane?
So how does... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the guys that'll search their name.
Like Dez.
Right.
Like the fact that he will get on there and keep engaging. Like, how do you keep engaging if you're that famous, you know? If you're famous to where you get a million tweets just based on one thing.
Yeah, and
like,
then...
the guys that look in it... He's in the locker room at practice looking at it.
Maybe it has.
And responding to people. Like, he knows that this writer tweeted about me 2 minutes ago. I'm going to go confront that writer. Like, his mind must be this weird, insane place. Because I'm of the opinion that just the more there is, the less there is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much, and it becomes nothing. None of it means anything if you get that much volume.
But, you don't really appreciate it one way or the other. And while he may be...
only looks for the haters, it seems.
That's true. He may be on an extreme end of that, but I don't think that condition is singular to him. I think that's where we are today, sports, with most athletes. And, yeah, it felt weird. I think I topped out at around 140 text messages, and all I could think about was, man, what was Mike Reiner's phone like a month ago?
I can't even imagine.
40-plus years.
Like, he must still be going through it all.
Weeding through all of that, and that's not even Twitter. So, yeah, it's pretty overwhelming. It was, you know, the weird thing about it to me, and I don't know if you felt this way, but being honest, even though we knew that it was happening, you know, maybe you didn't, they just told you yesterday, but even knowing for a minute, I was still kind of shocked when they said it on the air. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still had the feeling like someone had just broken news to me, no matter how much I had thought about it in the days leading up to it.
I thought it was really funny right before the announcement. Everybody's up here. They're looking for microphones. You're in here. And Killer comes in here to tell you that this is where your mic's going to be. But the way he said it was, hey, I think we're going to keep you in here.
Yeah, he said.
We all knew what he meant, but it just sounded like he said, we're going to keep you as the producer.
Killer has made this executive decision not only to short the Saudi oil product, but to keep me in there. I'm like, geez, Killer. It's pretty presumptuous.
Yeah, I'd feel more comfortable if you just did the show in there. Would you just... Like, well, that's your seat. You've been sitting there for 6 years? You've been a part of this show for at least 9.
Yes, I ran the board for a little over 3 years, and I still remember it like it was yesterday, coming in to do the top 10 on a Friday, and Groobs turning to me and saying, hey, after you do your 710 ticker, we need to talk. Okay? And he told me that he was leaving.
So,
and he's like, this might be a chance for you to get noon to 7 board hopping. And I don't know if you remember that time very clearly, but that seemed insane at the time. Like, I had never considered the possibility that
like Groobs ever leaving. Oh, yeah.
He was
no, that was a major thing.
And I just thought, I thought I was being pranked, like everything up here. And so then, yeah, I ran the board for you guys for 3.5 years. And then Gribble got diabetes. And I started producing almost 6 years ago to the day. Because it was right after the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I have that same timeline for you being producer. I thought it was more in the
February
summer.
4th, I think.
Yeah,
February
really?
4th,
yeah.
2014.
So I don't know if you do this, but I have a notes page on my phone or on my computer here of all the important dates of my life, like not down to the day, but the month. So we have, you know, stuff like trying to remember when you started dating your wife.
Yeah.
This one says parents divorced.
Yeah, I saw somebody say they should have announced this during the Pro Bowl.
Well, that's what I said yesterday, is this is like the Pro Bowl all over again whenever all we knew was that Bob was leaving and wanted to know if it was my fault, if you guys still love me. And you said, no, it's not, but you were lying just like my parents were. And just like every parent are. Yes, it's your kid's fault you got divorced. You probably would have been way happier with your spouse without him. Let's be honest here, right?
Now, much in
2020,
in humbling midday form, because we here on middays are humbled.
Like the stripper.
Was it weird that your big announcement, and it is a big deal, and we're going to keep talking about this, of how big of a deal this is for you to work here now officially full-time. You're a host. You're tier one.
With benefits.
A host with benefits. Was it humbling to have it be like the, oh, also, because yesterday, obviously, the big announcement was Bob moving to the hard line. They made this huge deal, and this is the announcement. And then you got the, oh, yeah, and Jake's going to bed radio.
I had not even considered that until you mentioned it to me on the phone afterward yesterday, and then I kind of lowered my pennant that just says host.
Like, you're all excited, and then I...
Yeah.
So I made you feel bad.
Yeah, I there's no way that I could be anything other than just super, super excited and appreciative and just juiced for whatever's next. But then whenever you were like, huh, yeah, you're kind of an also-ran today, huh?
I was like, you're Dwight Powell in the Rondo deal.
Yeah, exactly. I guess.
Get some Linsanity.
Right. You had your day in the sun last Friday. That was Jake Day, Jake Pizza Day.
That's true.
So I don't know if we could have done Friday and Monday Jake days.
That's true.
Might have been a little much.
And that was a big part of this, is that if I could have gotten to three, Bob's sitting here right now. And that was a deal I made with Kat.
Wow.
And I wanted it, but I couldn't pull it off.
So that's the true story behind the scenes?
Yeah.
If you had eaten three pizzas by 3:20, but you didn't.
Without vomiting, yeah. And I also want to just to set the record straight.
Wait, what if they did stuff like that? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't life be fun?
It's just basically fear factor for jobs.
Yeah,
it would be awesome. I don't know who needs to hear this, but whether it's ticket stock, whether it's the compound, which I guess I can lurk into now, I'm doing three, but I'm doing thin.
Wow.
Just to prove that I can do the thin, because I think anybody could do it. A lot of people have expressed.
Can you do the Eatsies thin?
No question. Absolutely no question. That's one of the tastiest pizzas in the land, and it's very thin, and it would be not a problem. I told you the other day, whenever my wife asked me to go pick up the deal of salad, pizza, and a bottle of wine, I get a second pizza for the ride home. Clean that bad boy out before I get home, and then we split the other pizza.
All right, well, let's slow down on pizza-related bits just for now.
I'm doing this one for me. It doesn't need money. I'm just going to casually eat it in the background at the compound.
No fanfare.
Nope. Don't
need it. The love of the game. All right, well, let's keep kind of talking about this. It was a big day yesterday. Big changes here at the ticket. If you haven't heard, Bob is no longer here. I think we're going
passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Call it bad radio for now. We have plenty of other suggestions we can get into as time goes on. But for now, it's still called bad radio. It's just not an acronym, right? It's just a
clever radio contraction.
Hilarious and self-deprecating. You can now call it a contraction, but it never was one.
Right.
It's like the Big 12 and the Big 10.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything. It's just a name.
There you go. It's exact. See, look at that, Mino.
He's smart.
He's thinking. It's 12:30. This is the ticket.
Big's brother, who was hip hop brother, who was no ID friend, no ID my mentor, and I let the story begin. It's the hard.
This Saturday, the Soroy twins will broadcast live from Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in Plano. Their beer will be cold, the food will be mouthwatering, and the Tight End's girls will be dressed to impress. So Saturday, noon to 2, Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in Plano. The Soroy twins, Mike and Cash. All right, it is noon 35. This is bad radio. Dan and Jake.
Or Brutus and Dan.
We could go Brutus and Dan. Got quite a few suggestions online. I tried to keep track. one of the number one suggestions was hashtag girl dads.
That's cute.
Because we're so woke.
Yep, for sure. And I need to outwardly tell everybody that I actually don't mind having a daughter, because you probably assumed that it sucked, right? Everybody, that's TC's point on girl dad, is like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, just, you have to tell everybody right. that you... I like being the dad of a daughter, because we all know you probably think it sucks and it's terrible, but...
Me?
It's not... I mean, it's okay.
If you want to call me a hero...
Yeah. that I actually love a girl.
Right.
That's my daughter.
Took some time.
I mean, we all want just boys, because they're so much better and cooler, but yeah, I can get along with this thing. DJ on the radio, Dan and Jake, Brutus and Dan, it's just Danter. Or as I was walking in today, JJ, one of our production guys, was out there, you know, doing his thing that he does in the hallway there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, Mein Kemp.
Wow. I'm sure the Commerce Department would love that one.
But right now we're going to say bad radio, and maybe forever, because it is bad radio. You know the old bit on if you take a... I don't know what the hard line will do, but that's really what we call a YP.
Yes, sir.
And I would like to just say this before you say a few things about the ticket in general, because I'm very interested in what yesterday or today means to you. Because this is show number one with Bad Radio and Jake, although we've done probably 50 shows together over the years. But we'll call this officially show number one. I don't know if you know it. Yesterday was, for Bob and Dan, show number 5069.
Saw that.
Nice.
And we've been planning this for like a decade. Like, we cannot stop until we get to 5069.
Because you had to get to 5,000. That was a stated goal. And then after that, you just had to hit that nice number.
I want to say this quickly.
Nice round number.
About Bob, which is all should go without saying. But I do know there's, like I said, it all the talk on Twitter kind of turned into one big ball of whatever, because lots of opinions are out there, and it's cool. You know, that's what the world is, I suppose. But to allege perhaps there's some kind of an underlying tension and we were trying to get away from each other or whatever, that's what kind of makes this move so cool to me, is there really isn't. And had upper management decided that they're going to move me and Bob, they're going to keep us together, they're going to just move Jake, I don't know. I felt I was a winner in anything, any way this shook out. And I kind of feel like we all are. And I don't know if we could have ever put together what we put together if I worked with somebody different. Bob's great. He's awesome. He's been awesome throughout the years. And he supported me off the air more than anybody could ever know, as far as if we've gotten into, you know, there are things happening that people that we don't know about, you know,
mm-hmm.
And he's been awesome every step of the way. He's extremely hard worker, and we put this show together. This is what we wanted together. Now, what Dan and Jake want together might end up being different. We'll find out over the years, but me and him built this thing, you know, piece by piece or whatever, and I'm really proud of what we've done, and I love Bob, and I'm really happy that he's moving. I hope his head's okay, and it all, you know, I hope he doesn't read Twitter, because I think there's just a ton of stuff out there, but whatever. He's himself, and I just want to at least state for the record, if you want to be a little, get a little homo here, that I love him. I love Bob, and would have been totally happy if this went any other way as well. So
yeah, and for me, knowing that that's how you feel about him and he feels about you, you might think that it's like, man, I'm nervous to go work with this guy because he had such an unbelievable partner before with a relationship where they had to kind of scrap and claw to pull this thing together and all of a sudden get to 20 years. But I don't feel that way at all because of how you guys have treated me over the years. And I honestly, a spot came open and I just thought, well, I've positioned myself where I'm at least in the mix. I don't really care how this shakes out, you know, because I've worked and hosted, in fact, with every single person here. And everybody made me feel welcome. And everybody said, hey, if a spot comes open to fill in, we'd like you to do it. From the Musers to Norm and Donovan to you, Bob, Corby, Mike, Danny. I mean, it's really, really surreal to step back and think, like, I worked with everybody and everybody was cool to me about it. And I knew whenever they told me and told you, you guys are going to be working together, that you were into it. I didn't have to ask you. That's just the vibe you've given me over, you know, several years. And so,
yeah, I'm fired up, man.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about the future.
That's an understatement for me.
One of the things that I just don't know that everybody knows, and maybe I didn't even know it, because I've known you really close for 9 years, but like somebody on the Unticket put out some audio this week, or maybe it's been there forever, but somebody just alerted me that it exists, like 19-year-old Jake on the Hardline. And that thing that we played in the open today was 18-year-old Jake. So you've been a part of the Ticket. You're 34 now?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do math. What is that, 15 years? Like
almost 16.
You've been almost half of our show on our show.
Yep.
So it's not like this is that weird.
Right.
But you've been a part of the Ticket for so long, and it's weird because I went out and did my, you know, I worked in many little tiny markets and then finally got a shot here. You were 18 working here.
Yeah, I interned for the Hardline basically the month after I got out of high school.
So your connection with Danny and Corby is deep.
And there's no way that this happens without... I mean, I still can't believe that Danny answered an email from somebody who wanted to intern. If you know Danny now or at any point...
Especially knowing Danny now.
Absolutely no
sense.
He's
never answered an email.
And they don't typically want interns. They've only had one other one, the fake Bruce Spillane.
Why did he take your email?
I have no idea. He said before that the way it was written, I thought you'd be a good fit with us.
Boy, I'd love to find that email.
I mean, it was an AOL account in 03 that I'm not sure it exists. He may have it. I've looked for it, but... And I came up and I met them, and after a day, they were like, hey. And because, see, like, you've talked about this before. I somewhat lied about my technical capabilities. I'd heard them say on the air before that they used Nuendo, which is a program that I only barely know how to use, or knew how to use, but I knew how to use a bunch of other recording software from playing in bands and stuff. And so I thought, if all they want me to do is edit audio, I can do that easy and fake it out.
So you pretended you knew how.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so...
You have to do that and then figure it out once you get there.
Yeah, got to know them over a couple years. They would pay me in gift certificates to sponsored restaurants and occasionally like a case of beer, definitely illegal. And then I moved away from my last 2 years of college to San Marcos. And that's the only 2 years since I've been 18 that I wasn't here. Because when I came back, I got hired as an overnight weekend board op within a few months.
How do you do college in 2 years?
Well, no, the second 2 years. The first 2 years I was here.
Oh, all right.
And I interned with them. And then so then I go down to Texas State, and I came back, and they said, you know, just keep hammering them for a weekend board op overnight. Those come open every 4, 5, 6 months, and just started there. And
what year is that about?
07.
And in my mind, part-time job.
Yeah, and in my mind, I certainly thought that the more traditional path, like the way that you did it, might have been the right choice. But I guess I just thought, okay, if I can stick around up here while also developing some other talents and skills and work on the side, like I wrote for Pegasus News, I wrote for the Plano Star Courier, Quick, you know, just a bunch of spare, not no offense, but stuff that you're doing to try to work your way up. And two of those three are closed now, so I guess spare. And I thought, okay, well, if I can kind of get my hand in this writing thing, went to grad school during that time. And so I was... working 9 to 5 for a family business, going to school 6:30 to 9:30, 3 nights a week, and then overnight board hopping on the weekend. I was doing nothing but working. And I did that for several years, all in my mind thinking, well, if I just kind of hang on, hope for the best, right? Ticket Top 10 opens up, and then I would go to work during the day at a part-time job, and then I would come do the Ticket Top 10. And then Groobs leaves and just everything, man. It's super heavy.
So the Top 10 wasn't a full-time job?
Well, it was, but I also thought, like, that's a seven-hour day, and I haven't had a seven-hour day in my life. You know what I mean? Like, that's one thing about preparing kids with tons of extracurricular activities is that, you know, I'm like, this job's like 30, 35 hours a week. Like, I could definitely do another job here.
Okay.
And I'll start a podcast. That wasn't an option for you whenever you were banging around, you know, the
that gets
greater
you
Ohio area. Yeah, I thought, okay, well, the barrier to publishing here is super low. I'll do this. Then you guys found out about it. Bob and Dan found out about IJB. That started getting to the air. We got Spaces Super Gay out of it. We've got the Pimple Popper. We've got Make It Big. We've now got the pizza. We've got the chicken nuggets.
I don't know.
Like, it's been a pretty fertile ground, and you guys took to it really early, and I think that helped a ton, too. But I told Saad this from The Athletic last night. I don't know if you feel this way at all. I've just had like this singular focus of this is what I want to do since I was maybe 16 or 17 years old.
Radio.
Radio here.
Okay.
And everything that I did, whether it was trying to go to grad school or trying to write and raise my profile that way or doing a podcast or, you know, finishing an athletic story at 5 a.m. that in no way is going to make it to the air or editing the crow line whenever I'm like dead ass tired. I just kept thinking I'm doing this for this reason. I've just been in this tunnel vision mode for almost half my life now. And yesterday it was like when your cat gets out. I was like to myself, like, well, what now? I mean,
So when my cat schemes and plans for months, how do I get out? Like, you see her crouched right by the door. And so you know that's always her thing, and then you put your foot there and you stop her, you know. But that's her whole goal. Then she gets out, but she has no step two to the plan. She's out, and you can literally walk up, just walk right up to her, scoop her up, and take her back in. But she sprints out like she's, this is finally, I'm outside. But so, okay, so that's just the analogy.
Yeah, and I think that probably a lot of people have so that in different parts of their life. But now
here
like,
you
oh,
are
wow.
outside in the
okay,
sun.
So we're here now. And I have, you know, I've thought about doing a show for a long time, so it's not like I don't have tons of notes and you and I have exchanged ideas, but I still am kind of in this weird, surreal state where I don't really know how to feel. Like, I feel like I should be even more excited than I am, but I kind of only know the mode of we just got to keep going.
I wish
like,
yesterday was Friday.
Makes sense.
And I think that's bad for the news cycle, but I felt, and this is me, I felt, and I'm just kind of doing the same thing and rolling into work again, and my schedule's the same. So I can't imagine, I don't know, yours is much different because you're getting lots of congratulations. And Bob is certainly a little bigger of a deal too. So I was just exhausted last night.
Yeah.
From I don't know what. I didn't do anything. Picked up food in the rain on the way home, but
you know, it's just the mental side of it. But I'm super happy.
Yeah, mentally I almost wish this was the weekend and we had a chance to sit around for a couple days and then get rolling on Monday, but it's and then I'm like looking at the sheet my show sheet, it's only Tuesday. We have all week now.
Well,
weird.
Yeah, I'm like my last but thing is just how thankful I am to you and to Bob and to Corby and Danny and really everybody. But I've learned so much from you and Bob about how this works. And there's nobody that I would have rather worked with prior to prepare to do a show like this. So we'll table Epstein on the hour next. Are the Mavericks the worst home team in the NBA next? All right, just about 1 o'clock here on Bad Radio with Dan and with Jake. Coming up here in 15 minutes, it is Tuesday, so we will have Business Tuesday with our business reporter, Dan McDowell. But right now, man, this makes no sense. The Mavericks, despite being a far better team than they were last year, despite having a far more consistent roster, as they were in constant turnover last year, are somehow considerably worse at home and have now fallen to 500, 14-14 after a loss, despite a furious comeback to the Jazz last night. Luka's obviously still out. We'll see if he can go tomorrow night in the final game before the All-Star break. I'd say it's close to 100% he plays in the All-Star game. You know, I think this might be a time where the player overrides or overrules whatever the team thinks.
Yeah, I'll bet, though, the team thinks that's a valuable thing to have Luka at the All-Star.
Oh, they definitely think it's a valuable. It's huge for the franchise to have a guy voted as a starter. But
I think if there was any concern about him physically, they wouldn't. Don't you think? I mean, they don't want to hurt him long-term for sure. I just think it's really important that Luka's there.
Especially
it's so subjective, though, you know, and I usually hate that kind of stuff.
I know it's important to him, and I know it's important to the organization, especially with as weird as this weekend's going to be, the Kobe situation. I mean, you saw Luka crying on the bench after the Kobe game. You saw Kobe learn a Slovenian phrase so that he could talk to Luka from his floor seats. There's no chance he would be missing that game. So the home thing is really weird.
And where's the game?
It's
not L.A., is it?
Isn't it Charlotte?
Okay.
I think they got it back. Once
We'd know if it was L.A.
Chicago? Okay, yeah.
All right. I just wanted to know L.A. or not L.A.
That's not something I keep track of, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is how bad they are at home, and I didn't go last night. I will be doing tomorrow night's postgame. It's suspiciously dead in there this year. I don't know if they've just had weird random opponents.
Like the atmosphere?
Yes. You could tell a difference, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if people are already accustomed to them being good and think they should be better. I'm not sure, but they routinely fall super flat in the first quarter of games, and they're not good enough to catch back up, particularly whenever they don't have Luka. And Utah's really, really good, but falling down 32-24 in the first quarter, they just look sluggish. And I don't know if it's a practice schedule thing. I don't know if they're a young team that you would think young team would have a harder time getting ready to play on the road. But they're clearly a cut below teams like Utah, even when healthy. But you still just can't get housed on your home floor time and time again and expect to be a team that's going to make any noise in the postseason.
What's their record at home?
14-14. Yeah, I mean, they're the only team in the top 8 of the West. Well, they're the only team in the top 11 of the West, or at least 10, I think, with a losing record or a 500 or below at home. Now, they're 18-8 on the road. They went to Indiana a week ago.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Without Luka, and beat a very good team on their home floor, but they're just... It's a little bit of a weird vibe right now, and they
so
were.
So, are you of the opinion they should be like trying to add and like since they're here, we got to go for it type thing? Because I do not feel I'm of that opinion. I think if everything just kind of keeps going the way this season is, even if they get bounced in the first round, you would have to say huge success from where we were and what we anticipated this season to be.
There's no question. I would say when it comes to making moves, it's like, okay, I'm okay to add, but not if it in any way impacts 2022 or 23 or something like that, you know? The weird thing about that conversation, though, is they have Golden State's second-round pick, which right now looks like it might be the first pick in the second round, so pick 31, which for a number of reasons is actually somewhat more valuable than pick 28. There's contract minutia there about how second rounds aren't guaranteed, so you can save some money. But once those guys start coming back, like if Klay comes back and Steph comes back, that pick might start to fall a little bit. And the difference between pick 40, 40 and 31 is huge. So I was a little disappointed they weren't able to find something to do with that pick, but I also think, good teams can turn second round talent into role players all the time. I'm totally fine with where they're at.
So I was under the impression Klay isn't coming back all year. That's not the case?
Steph will be, next month?
Steph certainly will.
Yeah, I know. I think Klay could come back, but I think...
Like they'd play it real safe?
Right. But Utah...
They have their first round pick, right?
Yeah.
They might want to hold them out just to make that better.
As Dirk once said, the city of Utah, that team is legit, man. And they recently had like a 5-game losing streak that dropped them from second or third in the West down to fourth. Now they've won 3 in a row. They're a problem. And they're fun to watch. And they were absolutely hunting KP last night. That was a disconcerting defensive performance from Porzingis. He was good offensively, but they were time and time again just looking for him and working his ass in the pick and roll. And that is a problem because when Luka comes back, Porzingis' value is kind of predicated on being a really plus defender. And if other teams are not only not trying to avoid you, but looking for you, that's concerning. And again, on the home floor thing, I don't know. It's perplexing. You would think that Mavericks fans would be at an all-time just fever pitch right now, given how good they've been, but the team looks out of gas. They look like I've never seen a team like this ready for an all-star break. They lose Powell, they lose Luka, they're losing at home. I think it's possible to be really, really pleased with where they are and also say this has been an odd stretch for this team.
Well, and it's so Luka's team, right? This has become clearly his team, so now if he's not even in the lineup, it's kind of like every game is a struggle to can we win this game, where no matter where it is.
Yeah,
because everything has to work out right.
You lose a top 10 player, most teams are going to experience a pretty huge drop-off. And like I said, KP was able to step in and score, but I'm more trying to think of when I watch these games without him, I'm trying to think about what can I learn in these games without him about what it'll be like when he's back.
And right. KP has stepped up huge.
Huge.
Hardaway kind of went off again, didn't he, last night?
Oh, yeah. We're in a weird zone now where Tim Hardaway Jr. might be your third most important player. And if you want to one day have a segment called Bad Take Jake, I was extremely ready to find a way to get rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. before the year started. And he is vital. So,
well, he was like a money dump, right?
That's all it was, yeah.
Like, you had to take him.
You were not getting KP without taking him back at town.
You would not want to get rid of him.
So, they'll wrap things up tomorrow night before the break with the Kings in town, which is always a fun matchup. It sucks Luka might miss that one because I definitely think Luka targets Sacramento and Phoenix as organizations and cities that he wants to punish for not taking him one or two. I mean, I think he's almost kind of said as much. So we'll have that tomorrow night, and then the All-Star
break
this weekend.
No one believed
in him. Yeah, no one believed in a 16-year-old who'd already won world championships, or at least Euro championships. All right, coming up next, Business Tuesday with Dan. All right, it's 1:15. This is Bad Radio here on Sports Radio 1310, 96.7 FM, The Ticket. It's Dan, it's Jake. In 15 minutes, we'll have the news with updates on everything from the coronavirus to injured strippers. But now, it's time for Business Tuesday with your Business Tuesday host, Dan.
To honor Mike Reiner, who introduced me to Business Tuesday. But when he left, he took it with him. And now I'm taking it back. We get this one. You guys get Kid and Computer. We're splitting up all the bits, and we're trying to decide what goes 3 to 7.
Who has to pay alimony?
Probably them, right? That's Drive Time, bro. That's they're the earners. We make dinner.
Which means you get half of everything, though.
That's right. I'm really looking forward to that. Anyway, the Super Bowl apparently got 102 million as far as total viewership, which is the first uptick in viewership in 5 years. 102 million viewers when you add in the broadcast on Fox, but then the digital arms of the NFL and Verizon, the Spanish language Fox Deportes and stuff. I think they were, well, this is American stuff, but I do know they were broadcast in Australia, and for some reason, they didn't get Buck and Troy. They got Boog and Tess and those people, because we have a P1 that lives in Australia who said, hey, I can record it and send you the audio. I'm like, yeah, it's all right. It's fine. I don't think I'm going to need Boog and Tess.
I wonder what the story there is. It's just a rights thing that they can put it in some countries, but not all? And
well, I think it's like because if you flush the toilet and it revolves backwards when it goes down, they just had to get the op. So we had a really good broadcast here with okay. Troy and Buck, and they said, well, what's the polar opposite of that? So like the worst broadcast we can get. And so they got Tess and Boog, but yeah, it's probably ESPN owns it in there. I don't know.
Don't you think?
Ask the guy who does Business Tuesday. I don't know.
Next time I see him, I will. Don't you think Mahomes is a big part of this? Or the Chiefs in general?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I know
you
said
digital. Why the ratings went up?
But yeah, I think there's a significant amount of Patriots fatigue. And all of a sudden having this dude who's throwing no look behind the back passes to the fastest guy in the league, and he's 24 and he's, you know, he's the Madden guy.
That's interesting because I was thinking, you know, they love the Patriots in these big games. But maybe once you get to the Super Bowl, you're going to be big no matter what. Because I know, you know, they were upset that the Patriots were bounced out of.
I know the Patriots historically have gotten a big number, but I'm a lot less interested in them now than I have been at any point. And I'm just kind of tired of it. Just like Alabama, right? I was way more fired up for the playoff this year once Bama was done. Like, okay, dude, I've seen that. let's check something else out.
Maybe, but I now that Mahomes has won it and won the MVP and all that, I'm pretty sure he will be really the guy they want to get there again next year.
Oh, he's the face now, for sure.
Compared that, so that's $102 million, to the XFL, who are acting very happy about their first weekend. They averaged 3.3 million viewers on their first broadcast, which is kind of like a comp would be the Celtics-Raptors game on ESPN on Christmas Day, averaged 3.3 million viewers. If you're wondering what kind of a huge sporting event, it's not a huge sporting event. They do say it was a tick higher than the other league that was earlier this year. AAF. About the same thing. And you know how these startup leagues, the first weekend is usually the big one.
Yeah, and I also have seen that...
I would be concerned.
It's nowhere close to the opening number the XFL drew nearly 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, that
wasn't that almost a 10 share or something like that?
I think it might have been over.
Really?
Something crazy like that in week one. Now, by the time the championship rolled around, no one was watching it. But I don't know. I mean, I think that's a sustainable number. If they have a three-year deal... Now, they may not be able to sustain 3.3, but if they can get close to that, I guess what I'm saying is I think the league can survive.
Yeah, but I guess my concern is that the first weekend is usually the most eyeballs type thing. Seems like they didn't give you a chance to pine for football either. Like, might you want to wait until... don't wait until baseball, but maybe mid-March or something? Like, make us... We're salivating for football. They just started it right after the Super Bowl.
There's definitely logic. That's a logical thought, but think about what happens mid and late March. And if you go
what?
To if you go to the bar on the weekend in mid or late March, you're watching college basketball.
Bracket Dan.
Oh yeah.
Everybody
I'm not thinking, am
is
I?
Thinking about college basketball for three
right.
weeks out of the year, and those are those 3 weeks. So there's not a huge
give me
window.
Two more weeks then. Just something to make me like I miss football. I didn't miss football. It was on our again.
Like start at Valentine's weekend would be a good time to start it.
Yeah, it's 1 week later, so maybe, but it's an 8 week season, so they're trying to get out of the way before they have to compete with, you know, Marquette or whatever. I could see both sides of it, that they wanted to sort of try to ride the momentum of football, NFL, you know, pro football, and then I could also see that there's a level of fatigue. But I'm gonna watch it. At least, you know, a game a weekend.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to.
No, I mean...
I had fun watching it, man. Like, I'll
watch
the
Dallas
changes.
Game. How about that?
You watch Dallas, I'll watch L.A.
Oh, I bet a lot of people... this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
home
works
opener
out.
For my Wildcats.
A lot of people probably did like what we did, and it's like, it's Sunday, we're just kind of hanging around the house, we want to grill something, we need something on the TV, and there's no NFL football, so let's pop this on.
Yeah.
And we're entertained enough. I don't know. I don't know what else people watch on Sundays.
I saw someone say, I'll put this right above golf for nap background noise.
Yeah, and that's not quite as good as golf, but...
Yeah, golf is ultimate
for napping.
Nap, but if you like football more than golf and you want a little nap... Okay.
They say for ticket sales, they already have surpassed ticket sales for the entire season of the AAF, and that they averaged this weekend, although it really looked bad on TV.
Some of them did.
When you're in a huge stadium, 17,000 was the average.
Yeah, and I was a little suspect of those numbers because
that's a hockey game.
All of them were within like 300. All four attendance counts.
Oh, really?
17,000.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe. Huh.
Okay, so it's like the Mavs will announce a sellout when you can see empty seats.
Right.
It just means sold, not they didn't go there. Or sold or given away to their corporate sponsors. They might have given away 2,000 per game.
Right. And I do think like the LA game was played in that soccer stadium where the Chargers have to play, and it didn't look empty to me.
Looked pretty good, actually.
It's
a really small stadium.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though.
But it looks good.
It's way better to play these games in smaller parks.
One more quick hit on Business Tuesday. Shaq is doing something I've always wondered about. Well, he's selling his house. But, like when I sold every house I've ever been in, it's been on the market for like 3 months. So he can't sell it. Probably got to update that kitchen or put a new lamp in or something. You know,
check
we've always
maybe call all pro.
Every time I've sold a house, like 3 months later, after the realtor has convinced us to fix this or do this, the house looks so great that I wish I didn't move from it. Like, I can't believe we put in this whole new whatever. And she's like, oh, you can't sell it with those outdated things. That was so 7 years ago. Like, are you kidding me? Well, anyway, it always takes me many, many months to sell a house. Shaq, it's taking him a long time. His is up for $2.5 million. It's in Bell Canyon, California. It's in a neighborhood where the comps are every house in the neighborhood costs at least $1.5 million. His is $2.5 million. Five bathroom, five bedroom. So you got a full bathroom for every bedroom. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is Shaq seems to be a bit desperate. He put a video to her on Instagram. So that's the, do you use your social media for personal gain? And it's a weirder thing with us, right? Because our social media kind of is somewhat promotional arm of what we do on the air here.
Right.
So do I say I have a lawnmower to sell? Hit me up. I've always felt very weird about that. Or even if definitely. I want to use someone's services, we want a, you know, a chimney cleaner or whatever it is. I'm looking for a landscaper. Do I put that out there and accept the wrath of the P1?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get 50 people making fun of you for every one person that says, hey, I'll help you out or do something.
That's how bad you need it.
Exactly.
How hard up you are cash.
I needed tickets to Danny's show Saturday night, and even asking about that, and it was for a friend, I'm like, man, is this even worth it?
You know Danny.
It's sold out, bro. That's a
why did my voice
small
do that?
Theater. I don't know. You're once Danny. Upon a time, the man that you used to do a show with, he went after a fairly large gym company that might stay open all hours of the day on Twitter, and very early Twitter, and I think he won that battle.
Huh.
Some gyms are very hard to cancel your membership.
Yes.
Like, they make it prohibitively difficult. And I think Bob was just discovering...
They're just looking out for you. They want you to keep working out.
Bob had just discovered these claws at the ends of his internet arms. And I remember thinking, well, damn, okay, you can do that, huh?
Gets the job done.
All right, well, that's kind of like news we just did, but that's not the news. What's on the news next?
An update on the injured Dallas stripper, and they found their beach.
Join the Hardline, whoever's on that show these days, Friday, for a live broadcast at Free Play Arcade. That's on East South Street near Collins and Abram in Arlington. Free Play Arlington has more working, authentic, retro arcade games than any other arcade in DFW. Get the Free Play Valentine's Day special. $25 will get you two admissions, two drinks, and two authentic retro Valentines. That's Friday with the Hardline. Now, let's do the 1:30 news with Jake.
Take it in. Here's my note.
Raising Cane's and Welborn garage doors.
All right. That sound you hear was not Shakira getting the coronavirus, I don't think. But we have two coronavirus-related stories for you. The first one, they're both pretty terrifying. A citizen journalist is how he's being described in China.
Blogger.
Pretty much. He's a web jammer. He's a coronavirus-related web jammer. So he had been posting on social media videos that had gone viral, hugely popular videos, showing what is happening on the ground in Wuhan province. He was trying to spread the word to the wider world of, this is really, really bad. Like videos of bodies piling up, videos of people being, I guess, denied treatment. Yeah, he was arrested over the weekend. Because we talked previously about the doctor who was the initial guy to start sounding the alarms on this and noticed some suspicious stuff at the end of last year, the end of the last American year, I guess. And he, I believe, has passed away because nobody wanted to listen to him. I don't think he received proper treatment. But this dude is trying to spread the word about how bad this is, which is exactly what a communist government like China wants to avoid. So the police went to his house. He refused to leave and even live streamed as this was happening, the police breaking down his door, and then the video goes dark and he's been arrested.
So how bad is the coronavirus? Because we were talking when you weren't doing the news. I think I said this the other day, like during the Super Bowl, it seemed to be doubling every 2 days. Like there was 400 cases the first day in January. 2 days later, there's 800. Like worldwide, it just, it doesn't seem to be going down. It does not seem to be under control.
The death toll surpassed 1,000 in mainland China today. But again, I think it's a bit tough when it comes to record-breaking or record-keeping in a country not only that large, but that secretive.
Well, and the death toll was that was a small percentage of those who are getting sick.
Right. Right. And people don't really seem to have much of an answer for it. But one answer that they've come around to with regard to the passengers on the cruise ship Diamond Princess, which is at a pier in Japan, is, hey, all y'all got to stay on there until we figure this out, because I think 10 passengers and 10 crew members on this cruise ship that has 2,500 people on it have been completely quarantined.
So then the whole cruise can't, the people who have not been quarantined can't come off and...
They cannot.
Get deloused or whatever, however you do that.
I believe there's 2,500 travelers and 1,000 crew members who live and work below in pretty tight conditions. They're basically allowed to step out of the room for a few minutes, their own room, for a few minutes a day, and that's it. They have permission to walk on deck 6 feet apart for a few minutes a day. And some coronavirus experts are saying, you know, keeping all these people on here means they're all way more likely to get it. They're all eating in buffet-style preparation for their meals. They're all gonna get it. Whereas I think the cruise ship company and perhaps the Japanese government is saying, no, you all have to stay on there so that we don't get it out here. So it's a real catch-22 of
sacrifice
diarrhea.
All these other people so it doesn't come onto the mainland. Yeah.
There are up to 135 people infected now on that boat.
Okay, see, I had read that they weren't sure exactly because not all of them have been tested because it takes money and doctors to test people. So it's been in a 2-week quarantine since February 4th. It's now, as the New York Slimes calls it, a floating mini version of Wuhan, China.
Oh, God.
And you're just waiting it out on this thing thinking, I might have this, I might not. Maybe tomorrow I'll get it. I have to be here another week.
So I'll use this to keep my narrative going of another reason to not go on a cruise.
I'm glad we found unity in that. Two things today. One,
you hate cruises?
I'm using Dan's fish microwaver today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
It's the no-smell fish microwaver.
It's not a microwave, though.
I
it's
thought
like
we
a,
decided there was still a little bit of smell.
A slow-cooking thing.
I haven't smelt it when, okay. when I've walked in here.
And did you smell my salmon today?
No.
There you go.
I think you found the perfect teammate in there.
Yeah. And I'll never get on a cruise ship. Ever.
Yeah, so I don't have a bad experience, and I'm like, oh, I hated it. I just am anticipating I would have a bad experience. It doesn't look like fun.
Claustrophobia.
To be in that tight little room.
Rock,
I've always
the rocking.
Thought that way.
You've always thought what?
I've always thought it didn't look like fun, but now with kids, it comes into my mind a little bit more as far as a possible vacation, because there's Disney cruises, or just cruises in general where your kids have all these planned activities and they can babysit your kids while you do whatever and there's kind of something for everybody. I don't know, but I've always, prior to that, thought that it sounded kind of terrible.
Yeah.
If you like doing a lot of drinking.
Yeah, but then
that's
people
a good
fall
place.
Off of them and stuff.
Well, not very often.
And the plumbing messes up.
You have to be
you
a real
poop in
idiot
bags.
To fall
or
off
you can just
cruise.
Poop over the side.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And I think...
I don't think they make you poop in bags, Mino, do they?
That's happened, yeah.
The poop cruise. You don't remember that from a few years ago? I think it was Carnival.
Yeah, everything backed up.
Yeah, and it was just overflowing with poop everywhere in the ocean.
A lot of people got sick. What about those cruises on the rivers, like the Viking cruises and stuff that go through Europe?
My dad did the Alaska one.
Yeah.
And that looked pretty cool because they could get out and kind of walk around on glacier-y looking stuff. Like, it was way, way up there.
It's like you only sleep on the boat, and every time you wake up, you're in Newport to go do stuff.
Yeah, and people always use that argument, like, oh, but you go into cities whenever the boat parks. I'm like, well, then why wouldn't I just go on vacation to the city?
Because you can do, like, three cities.
Yeah, I mean,
hop around a little bit. You don't, because you don't know if you're really going to love this city. So instead of investing like a whole week and all your money in this one city that you've never been to,
you don't have to get in a car to travel.
Of different ones. Yeah, you don't have to.
Your
do any
travel
of the
is drinking
travel
and eating.
Headache. Everything's done for you.
Drinking and eating and effing.
I don't know. Effing.
I bet you there is a lot of random.
You do on a cruise. Do
a lot of random hookups
I
on the cruise.
I think you're in a tiny. Well, I wasn't thinking random hookups. I was thinking obviously the person you went with,
like your wife.
Yeah, you don't think
who does that?
But aren't you in a little tiny confined room and like I prefer a bigger room where I can kind of do my own thing. But if you're just in a tiny bed, you're probably going to just be like, "Well, we might as well do it."
You're here. I was more thinking like a girls' trip. I bet you the crew cleans up in a lot of those scenarios. Probably a lot of people who work in vacation
when girls go on vacation.
That's all they want,
that's
huh?
That's all they do.
They're ready to party.
Get all horned up.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
totally
out of state
horns.
Giorgio. You act a little different when you go on a cruise.
Right. And there's a little bit of a mystique to the
and
cruise.
And it doesn't count. Isn't that an Eddie Murphy bit?
Well, it's international waters.
Yeah. Like just the
different zip codes and different countries like doesn't count.
Yeah. If
it's
she's.
Like, doesn't really exist.
If you're with your man or a guy you're now dating and you're kind of. It's a bad bit, by the way. Don't do this. Well, how many people have you been with? Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
That younger people do? Because I
don't think people care anymore.
55.
All I want to know is
that used to be a thing where, you know.
My only question is how many at the same time.
And then you're lying.
Oh, God.
What can I learn?
You're lying and that she lies. And I think this is part of the Eddie Murphy bit. And,
right.
Or one of, maybe it was Chris Rock.
What are you saying?
I will not be painted into that corner, but I will say that
I tell the same jokes as Chris Rock.
Is they had some bit where it just doesn't. They decide it doesn't count. They don't. They can only count.
Yeah, I've heard it.
You know, the mainland United States serious relationship sex they've ever had, and three. I've been three guys.
And everyone says there's like an equation that you're supposed to divide after a certain age by this number and all that. The answer to the equation is just don't ask. But
yeah,
I do think
there's no reason you need to know that,
because I've always thought there's a that
like,
type
you
of
know
guy.
She's been with plenty of dudes if you're liking what's going on,
right?
She didn't come up with this on her own.
10 years in the league. I think
you don't want ask how she got
you
there.
You want at bats. You want them to get some seasoning.
Right. I've never really had the stones to be this guy, but guy who goes and works at Ski Mountain or ranch where they give horse back riding tours and cruise guy, like there's definitely a certain little oomph to that guy. A little mysterious, bit of a drifter. But I think if the ladies are out together, That guy's cleaning up.
Yes, he's having more sex than anyone.
Right. He's like, and then next month he works at a zip line place, and he's
right.
And it's just because
they
unlimited.
Know they're only there for a day. He knows you're only there for a day.
Right,
and he's hot.
Everyone's hot. He's probably blonde. I feel like those guys are oftentimes
sandy,
have like a sandy look
blonde,
to them. Yeah,
ski lift guy.
Ski lift guy, killing it.
Yep.
Absolutely
vacation
killing it.
Vacation love.
And the fact that you're saying yes to every one of these is slightly concerning.
Personal experience, but I know a lot of
boat tour guys.
I know a lot of guys who just like don't really know what to do with their life, and they just went off to work at a ski resort, and most of them are pretty good looking dudes.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just saying I imagine that this is true.
Yeah.
Never done it.
He's
sure you haven't.
Russell Brand in that one movie. Where he gets to, his wife divorces him, and then he writes the opera. That movie's great.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That movie's hilarious, and Russell Brand is like the hot...
Is that the one that Julie wants us to do at Movie of the Month?
No, that was Zoolander, but forgetting...
No, you had like a movie, and you were like, but that's more of a girl movie.
Oh,
of
actually... Serendipity.
Oh, Serendipity, okay. Yeah. Forgetting Sarah Marshall's
awesome.
It's a hilarious movie.
A really
it's
good
not
movie.
Like just a complete rom-com. All right, and our final story in Tuesday follow-up is an update on Jania Sky, the dancer at Ecstasy Cabaret here in Dallas, who fell 15 to 20 feet from a pole in a video that went viral. She had lots of injuries, and she, or at least someone, started a GoFundMe in her name to try to cover her medical bills. Broken jaw, broken teeth, sprained ankle.
Did not have insurance, you're saying?
I guess not. And I guess someone was so inspired by the fact that after she sustained her fall, she continued to make it twerk.
With broken jaw.
Broken jaw, teeth on the ground in front of her, and she's still just, she's like Jordan.
Mamba mentality.
Exactly.
I was shocked that she didn't hit the other person on the stage.
Yeah, the other stripper.
Yeah, it almost nailed her.
And she kept going too.
Yeah.
Well, the goal was set at $22,000, yeah. And I'm happy to report that as of yesterday, over $32,000 have been raised in the name of Janaea Sky's surgeries, and I believe that as of today, she had jaw surgery. And she posted a photo of herself from the hospital bed on the gram. Now, Mino and I were discussing yesterday.
Oh, she's wearing clothes?
If I were the owner of said strip club, I would, one, I'd try to help her out however I could. But two, I would really play this up for her return, you know? Like, does she get back?
Huge pub.
Does she get back up there 15 feet? Is that where we hear Chariots of Fire? As she's on her way back up the pole? I mean, I think you could really sell this.
Do we install, like, you know, the gymnastics mat on the
trampolines?
Stage? I don't think
not
can.
A trampoline, but just,
I know,
just
a
softer fall.
A trampoline.
Does she have one of those big halo units on her head that kind of keeps everything in place?
Like the what you see, like, on the people's
Jay
course?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, dancing with that on?
It does not appear to be the case, but yeah, I would.
Yeah, the white thing around your neck,
right? Or a cone, like a dog.
No, she's not.
She can't
trying to avoid a rash.
She can't lick
well,
herself.
Maybe, but okay, dude. Okay, you know what? There's your news.
Well, look at him reprimanding you. It's a different
wow.
than guy sitting next to you, isn't it?
It's a different Jake.
That's
in
tier
the big
one.
Room.
Next, he's cheering and all that. Now he's like, look.
Hey, come on.
He'll be telling you to cut that back a little bit before we know it.
No oral jokes.
Cool. What are we doing next? Oh, more XFL on the ticket.
156. Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. It's Jake, it's Dan, Bad Radio with you. Show number one here in 15 minutes or so. So Joaquin Phoenix says I can't drink milk anymore. But right now, we did a little XFL talk earlier just about what will be success for the league and who's watching it, if anybody, and who's going to the games. But there was a story a few weeks back, a week or so ago, from ESPN on the man that kind of unwittingly became the face of the XFL.
Yeah. So this is an ESPN story. I think there's a bunch of them out there. Different stories about Landry Jones, but this one was pretty interesting because upon reading it, it feels like he's very reluctant to be the face of the XFL. Like, he's kind of the most famous player, right? They have some other guys that have been in the league, including Lance Dunbar. Where does Lance Dunbar play? Does he play for us?
Yeah, he
Is
does.
He a renegade?
I would just, again, push back slightly because I just loved Cardale Jones, but I think
Jones
is a big deal.
He was a Heisman candidate.
He was a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, okay.
But Landry Jones, especially
down here.
And
he balled out this weekend.
He did. He looked great. But
And I think they got really good ratings for that game in Ohio.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah. Huge, huge. But Landry Jones, especially down here, I mean, he's like the third leading passer in NCAA history. So, yeah.
Is he really?
Dude, they put up stupid numbers.
Plus, he played 4 years.
For a marquee franchise.
That doesn't happen often.
Oh, okay. You mean for Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So as far as being an all-time leading passer. So he clearly played under Stoops. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly the tie-in there. But then, I mean, he was also a fourth-round pick who was a backup for a marquee franchise.
Yeah, it's funny because we've been talking about being humbled, and are you humbled to be a noon to three, you know what I mean? Like, you're on the Yankees, but you bat seventh. So are you humbled by that? It's an interesting read because Landry Jones, so you become a fourth round. So you're balling out in college, but you're only a fourth round pick, right? And
right.
To most of us, we'd be like, spare, sucks, because you're not Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, you know? You're
a backup.
you're going to be a backup. And I think it took him a while to kind of come to grips with the fact of being a backup in the NFL.
I've always been fascinated by that. Different guys react to that differently. You know, you'll see some guys who, like the McCowns of the world, who just seem to think, this is a pretty good gig. I like doing it. But in my mind, I always thought, dude, I don't know if I could go through the ass beating of getting ready for an NFL game to know every week there is a 99% chance there will be no action for the juice.
But it's kind of the best job ever. If you can't be a starter, like, you're always, fans always kind of think you're good and that you could do it if you had to, but you never really have to prove that. You don't really get hit. You don't get concussions, and you make $2 million a year.
Man, I think you're thinking of that from your perspective and not the type of person who ends up a pro athlete.
Because they've been the best in every room they've ever been in.
They want to get
to the NFL.
They want to prove they can do it. They don't like having to, because you still have to do almost just as much work to get ready. And then you get nothing, you know? To continue our analogy, it'd kind of be like me sitting over there. Well, yeah, there's an idea I might be able to do this, but it's like, well, you can kind of make decent money and not have to find out. No. If that's what you're passionate about, you want to find out. And it seems like Landry Jones never really got okay with not being able to find out.
Right. So, yeah, according to this article, and so we were talking the other day just about how interesting it is where he was after his, so he had like a 9-year career in the NFL, or maybe it's shorter than that. But he's definitely been a backup for the Steelers for many years before he was released. And he had trouble just becoming a backup. Started 5 games in 5 years. Never a 4 or 5 game stretch, just one game here, one game there, you know, when Big Ben would get hurt.
Right. He didn't have a chance for like a Matt Flynn stretch, you know?
To show what he could do.
Yeah, where someone's like, okay, there's 8 games. I'll give you huge money. Or who was the guy?
Or like this year with the Steelers. What's his name?
Mason Rudolph.
Oklahoma State, yeah. He got his opportunity. Didn't go so well.
No.
Miles Garrett gave him a little something.
Who was the guy a couple years ago the Bears paid? It kind of looks like Earthworm Jim.
From Tampa.
Yeah. He was awful. But
the
gave,
long neck, right?
Yeah, but they gave
Glennon.
Yeah, Mike Glennon.
Wasn't he with Oakland this year?
Yeah.
But they
he
gave
was
him
in,
like
the, in preseason at least.
$20 million or something because he put a few games together. Landry Jones never really had that opening or opportunity.
Right. And that's lucky for some guys if they kind of get a shot with a team that's already really good. Brett Favre's backup, or was it A-Rod's backup? Who did the Steeler or the Seahawks sign?
That's Matt Flynn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he didn't, I don't know that he ever really played much again.
They drafted Russ.
Russ, yeah. And check still clears.
And, you know, big props to Pete Carroll for seeing that even in training camp. Look, this guy, even if we try sign this guy as a free agent, this guy we drafted is better. So Landry Jones is with the Steelers. Backup, never really came to grips with that, but it's that old thing of where, is it the beholder? It's where you are and what you're looking at to where the grass looks greener. So right now, he's salivating at the idea of a backup NFL job. Like, he never came to grips with it once he was drafted and never kind of got a good shot to show what he could do. He ended up, all of a sudden, he's 29 years old and released by the Steelers, and then he's dying. He's contacting every NFL team. He's doing whatever he can to try and get his foot back in the league. He has dreams about holding a clipboard and working real hard all week, only to prepare and know that he's not probably not going to get into a game. So it's wherever you're standing to what your situation looks like. It looks like he hated it when he was there on the sideline, and now he's just wishing he could do it again. So what he ended up doing between the XFL, where he is now, and the Steelers, where he was before, is he is interested in home construction, and he got himself a job at a place in Fort Worth where he has to drive a truck, and I don't know if he's making more now or was at the end, but he started at minimum wage, and he would drive a truck to certain sites. He would go in somebody's house with a sledgehammer and goggles on. He would break down your wall or whatever it is, haul everything out, put it in the truck, and then go dump it at the dump truck. Also, with his the deal he worked out with the guy who owns the construction company, he would meet with him for an hour a week and talk about the bigger picture of construction, you know, as far as how to run a company and all that. So he's kind of tutoring him on that.
I respect it, and I'll tell you why, to go back to being humbled. Think about, like, that actor. I can't remember what he was in, but he was, like, shamed for working at Whole Foods last year. Remember when that became a story? Like, someone took a photo of him. Maybe he was on The Cosby Show or something. And it's like, if people know what your face looks like, particularly in Dallas-Fort Worth when you're an OU quarterback with two Big 12 titles, there's got to be a thing in the back of your mind where you're like, man, this is going to suck.
I would do this job in any other market.
Right. Someone's going to recognize me from their
and
television.
That happened.
Yeah, and I think being willing to do that says a lot about him.
Well, the AAF called him. And he actually met with the AAF. They offered him six figs. But when he pressed on how he would be paid and all that, apparently Charlie Ebersol, the guy who had founded that league, got a bit wishy-washy. And like, ah, don't worry about it, and we're taking care of this. But he wanted a little more background on who your financial investors are in this league, because he is one of the biggest names who is out there without a job and not in trouble with the law. You know, if you're thinking of Manziel or something, there's another guy that if he would have somehow taken the mentality, he could be a great backup for how many teams right now even. Right? If he just he's got the tools to be an awesome backup. Maybe he doesn't have the physical skills ability to be. Look, RG3 might end up being a great backup for years.
Yep. Being a backup quarterback is 100% about your approach and your mindset.
And being able, yeah. Some guys already have that. If you were at the top, like RG3 or Johnny Manziel, it's probably really tough to.
Baker Mayfield, he might be a great backup.
Maybe. We have a Baker segment for tomorrow,
Baker
by the way.
Has put up good numbers in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm still riding with you on Baker. Mino can do his jokes.
For you guys,
Baker's
to
good.
Put Baker Mayfield in the Landry Jones category just yet.
But the AAF definitely had a Nigerian prince feel to it.
Well, he sniffed that out.
Right.
So credit him for sniffing that out. And he did not sign with them. Had a Cowboys tryout. There's a funny thing in this article which says he thought it was like an interview, and he showed up in a suit. And when he got to the Star, the coaches and everybody were there, like, wearing sweats, and they had a, you know, thing full of footballs, and they're like, so, did you think we wanted you to, like, what did you think this tryout, what did you think we were going to do here? So, I don't know if that cost him, but he didn't end up catching on with the Cowboys, of course.
That he rolled into the Star like prestige worldwide, like
yeah.
Brennan and Dale.
Did get a call then from Bob Stoops, though, in February of 2019, last year. And obviously he knows Bob Stoops well. And obviously he said, boy, I'd like another shot in the league. And that's when he kind of just gave his last kind of Hail Mary before last season, is calling 20 teams. You know, Cowboys, the Raiders, everybody. He couldn't get it. He couldn't stick with the NFL. So he decided, okay, I will sign with you guys. And he's got Vince McMahon behind the NFL or XFL. And, you know, there's money behind the XFL. So one thing, though, that he's upset with is apparently they called. He tried to get on with the Raiders. And you know how I told you yesterday, as when I first found out about Bob when we were all on the air together?
Yeah, right.
Okay. And or guys will learn they're traded.
From reporters.
From reporters or whatever. I'm trying to find this really long article.
I think it was the Steelers. I think the Raiders passed on him.
Okay,
but,
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. So a month after he had signed,
with the XFL
is when Big Ben got hurt. I guess that is, yeah, right when the season started, right?
Right.
That's when it happened.
Week two.
So apparently the XFL contacted the league, or excuse me, the Steelers contacted the XFL because you sign with the league.
Right. Everyone's paid by the league. The coaches, the players, they're all paid by, like, the MLS is that way.
And they said, he's under contract to us. He's not interested in any opportunities in the NFL. Thank you. According to Oliver Luck, who's in charge of the XFL. Jones found that out when he was reading an article, or somebody turned him on to an article in the Tampa Bay Times. They had a Q&A with Luck in December. So he's kind of pissed.
Yeah.
Because he could have had a shot at sticking with the NFL a little bit longer, but the XFL didn't want to lose their most visible, you might say Cardale Jones, but this is a guy who is actually in the NFL for many years, and they felt that he was kind of the face of the whole league.
Look, they put him on the initial press release. They were clearly selling Landry Jones, and he was doing it to try to get back into the league. And the first time that he had that opportunity, they said, uh-uh.
So I don't know to this day where his mind is at as far as could he have played this week, but he's still kind of pissed at the XFL. And if he has the slightest injury, like he's got to be 110% or he's not going out there. What?
It's certainly something to keep an eye on, dude, because he was cleared to play. Now, he hadn't practiced much at all, but it seems like it's a pretty minor thing, and he's on the field.
But it doesn't seem like the league is not going to tell you about the true story on this, on how he's feeling, right? They're all, oh, we're so transparent, we're on the sideline, you can have all... I don't think they're going to let you know if Landry Jones is actually quite pissed at the league. Because, you know, the Steelers might pay him a million or two to be even the third string, and they're paying him probably barely six figures.
It's kind of the gift and the curse of a league like this. They want their guys to draw. They want them to be successful. Ergo, the NFL will be interested. Guys will view it as a chance to get themselves seen, and then they'll tell them, no, not until at least the end of the year. So this is not the last story like this, you know? If the XFL is going to be around a few years, there's going to be more than one guy who finds out, not directly, that someone called about him and the league said, no, you're too important to this. Here's $50,000.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And they're really going out of their way, too, to say we are not billing ourselves as a developmental league.
Right. And I know
we're
Bob
like our own thing. And I don't know if that's the best thing for them long term.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't know if the NFL would even want that. But clearly the reason that they're kind of viable is because Vince McMahon is dumping $500 million into it. And he didn't do that to be a feeder league. All right. Coming up next, what in the world is the Joker talking about?
Where you get them from? All right. We have to Oscar follow up.
Boy, do we.
A Tuesday follow up. As this is one of the two award shows I will watch, I think I'm an Emmy guy as well. It's about it, though.
No Tonys? We can't get that on the show this year?
You can do the Tonys.
What about Grammys?
Not for me. If you guys want to cover that, I will be here to listen to all the great things that happen. And if you want me to watch it, I will. But I've never really been that into it. That's me.
I'm only there for the wild assness, you know? I don't really care. I generally am kind of not all that interested in the film industry, but I do know there's always a chance for someone to lose the plot while they're on pills in front of 20 million people, and that's something I enjoy.
Which one did Ricky Gervais do?
Globes, right?
Okay, I'll watch that one, too. I'll watch anyone with Ricky Gervais on it.
Without a doubt. I wish he could just do all of them.
I think the Emmys, unless it's the Globes, they're doing Tina Fey and Amy Poehler again. Have you ever been a Parks and Recs guy? Parks and Rec?
I haven't, man.
Like, I've had a lot of people tell me, you gotta watch Parks and Rec. So I did. I'm like 8 episodes from the end now. And I'm also rewatching 30 Rock, which I watched originally. I have to say this. If Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are up there doing something together, Amy Poehler should give Tina Fey 10% of her check. Because Parks and Rec pales, it's so far below 30 Rock, it's not even funny. But I've heard people throw it around in like the same conversation because Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have a connection. But it sucks in comparison. There's some kind of funny things or cute things, but overall, if you've been one who has told me Parks and Rec is like 30 Rock, well, then you're completely high. I just wanted to make that speech. That's my platform. Now we get on to the Oscars, where other platforms were like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I kind of liked what he had to say overall, but it was pretty weird. I think I love Joaquin Phoenix, though.
I definitely love Joaquin Phoenix, and I'll tell you something else. Signs is underrated.
I don't know what that is.
Mel Gibson, crop circle, alien movie.
Ooh.
And I think it's really good, and I don't know if people probably now act like it's not because Mel Gibson's like an anti-Semite and everything.
Yeah.
But Joaquin Phoenix is great in that movie. So is Mel Gibson. I really enjoyed it. I think I've liked him in everything I've ever seen him in.
What's the thing where he's the king?
Gladiator.
Giving thumbs up. Yeah, he's great in that. Her was an Oscar-type movie. I don't know if I really liked that movie overall, but he was really good. And obviously Joker, he was the best actor, so he must be good.
I like his whole bit. I like how confusing he is. I like that he constantly has that Kaufman-esque thing about him where he's just kind of trying to confuse the public.
Didn't he do some... What was that thing where he did like a fake documentary and he went on Letterman and he was all bearded up? And
oh, yeah. He's got bits. And a lot of them seem to have very little payoff. And I think both you and I appreciate that.
You think we could ever get him on the show? Or is he way too big?
It's not even how big he is. I would wonder if he has a phone.
He probably wouldn't give you much if you had him on.
Think he's a minimalist?
Like, he might live in the woods a month out of the year.
That'd be so cool to be Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, I guess I'm with you.
Let's pick it up in the middle of his speech. He said some things in the beginning, but then he just went in some directions we weren't anticipating.
I think whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We're talking about the fight against the belief that one nation, one people, one race, one gender, or one species has the right to dominate, control, and use and exploit another with impunity.
All right, let me give you some running commentary here. And I know you said you agree in general with what he's saying, right? I don't think that eating meat is the same as being a racist. And I just want to go on record saying that I, in fact, do dominate another species because I'm at the top of the effing food chain in the natural world. That's not really the same as saying, hey, you can't have a loan for this house and you have to live in this part of town.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
I think he's just looking for a perfect utopia type thing and... Not all of the problems that he lists are going to be equal problems, right?
It just sounds funny when you list species dominating another in with racism, but I don't know.
For one species has the right to dominate, control, and use and exploit another with impunity.
Like, does he seem like the Joker character?
Yes.
Like, did he actually play a character, or was that just him? Maybe he shouldn't have gotten an Academy Award.
He's
like Chris Burke.
And I think he
couldn't have played any other character.
Or the other guy that presented the other night. I think the other thing is it kind of seems like it's going to linger with him, you know? Like, it killed Heath Ledger. It's just going to make Joaquin Phoenix even more crazy.
I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world.
And many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview, the belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby. Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. And I think we fear the idea of personal change because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best...
So, see, that's where I'm thinking, and maybe you guys are talking about how PETA goes overboard on some stuff, and then that tends to make you forget the actual good message that they're trying to give.
Absolutely.
Like what he said right there.
Because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up, but human beings at our best...
Like what he said right before, I probably missed it. That, like, we don't want to...
We fear the idea of personal change.
Right.
Because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up.
Totally agree.
Like, I agree with that. You know, we fear change. We fear the noon to three change. We fear a lot of change, but... it's all because, you know, we just don't want to have to do anything ourselves or give something up. So I agree with that. But is that now lost because you're doing speciesism or whatever the thing is?
And you're mad at us for milk.
And we all, like most of us drink milk and stuff.
Yeah, like for all not, of human history.
And are not ready to give this one up.
Sometimes you just got to know like how so far that, to reach out there.
Does that stuff, if he's going crazy on the milk, does that then become the whole story because we only read headlines and you don't get any of his other message? Because the day after, and today, 2 days after, or whatever, the Oscars, everybody's like, ah, here, Joaquin Phoenix, crazy milk guy, right?
Yes, but...
So now you're not...
He should know that.
You're forgetting the other 90% of his message was awesome.
Right.
The 10% of wackiness gets all the attention, and now it's like he never said the other stuff. And even if it does make sense, well, I can't really... I have to consider the source whether I pay attention to what he said or not.
And he should know that. You know? And it's not even like what he's saying is overtly political. He's just saying human beings can do better.
It has nothing to do with politics at all.
And we should all try to care about one another more. And also, it's bad that you drink... not just black coffee. I was like, I'm not listening to you anymore.
All right. Jake has, or excuse me, I should say, Major League Baseball has some ideas on how to get Jake to care. Let's give you those next. Ah, the Twib theme. This is some fine work. I hate to talk over it, but I must tell you the Rolling Stones. You can get tickets to see the Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl Friday, May 29th by texting STONES to 22126. Tickets for the Stones at the Cotton Bowl will go on sale Friday at 10 at AXS.com. But you can win tickets from the ticket by texting STONES to 22126. It's the Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl Friday, May 29th. All right, we have a couple baseball stories for Twib Notes.
Finally, you're free to spread your baseball wings.
Good thing nobody cares about baseball.
Well, it's trying to get you involved in baseball, Jake.
Okay.
Because I know that...
Bring back roids.
I know that you don't care too much. But baseball is my roots, at least. I got to tell you, I don't care as much as I used to. But Major League Baseball is trying to do some things, and they're floating out a trial balloon to the media. So is this real, or is this something that they're waiting to see which way the wind blows on it? The concept is that they're going to be adding more teams to the playoffs. And so the top two teams in each league get a bye. Okay, so let me see if I get this right.
It's a top team, not top two teams.
Top team in each league. So top two teams in Major League Baseball. Sorry, you're right. So you get a bye, and you just sit there and wait for the opponent. The division winner with the second best record in the league are there. And then there are three wild cards in each league. Would that be right, Killer?
Yeah. So you'd have your division winners, two, and then your best team, basically with the bye week. And then the division winners, the next three, get to pick who they play.
Yeah, so then the second best team gets to pick. So now there's three wild card teams. And you'd say, so if the Rangers finish second in the American League, the Yankees are first. The Rangers then look at the three wild card teams that they, and they say, I want to play this team. I want to play the Twins. And then they play a series against the Twins. And then the other two wildcard teams at the very bottom would play each other to see who moves on.
I love it.
So then I guess it would then the next round would be the team with a bye. Would they get to pick their opponent? Or is it then go
I
to record?
I think it goes to the seeding at that point.
That would make sense.
All right, you love it. Because it sounds like reality TV.
Yes, I'm sure they would televise it.
Yeah, it would be on TBS or something like that. They would have a whole special.
How much that is just building in a bulletin board thing to say they wanted to play us?
That's why I like it.
Me?
That's why I like
it. If you pick, say, you pick the Twins, you play them a three-game series, and they come to your house for all three games, you don't travel back and forth. So they're bulletin. The bulletin board has to be in the visitor's clubhouse.
Too. But just the general idea of
okay,
it.
Okay, so they know they don't even get a home game.
No.
If you're one of the low wild card teams. If you're the lowest wild card team, which means that's who's going to get picked. Or you might pick a higher seed because you see injuries in their starting rotation or some such.
Or you might say, well, this team has pitchers that throw this style, and we don't match up well with that. Let's go with this other team. But I think anytime you add a little gamesmanship to it, and, you know, I think I heard the musers the other day talking about A.J. Hinch about the role of the major league manager being reduced over the last decade or so. And I'm sure it wouldn't all come down to the manager, but this is something else the organization would have to discuss and decide. And maybe the players don't all agree. I just like a little, I like any spice like this. I live for it.
This is only being floated because any actual moves have to be collectively bargained with the union, you know? So that their deal expires after next season. So that means, you know, any additional playoff teams, all that kind of stuff. But I wonder if you love it, if fans would love it, but players are like, no, we don't want a part of that.
Just the choosing part or the expansion?
The choosing part, because I think expansion just means more money.
Right.
And I believe the players are kind of unique in the fact that they want more money. Not many people are like that.
Which is why you'll never get my dream for Major League Baseball, which is, I'm trying to lay down my bedrock principles here as we start this thing. I think when you play 162 games, even if it's not a fully balanced schedule, I think you should have something that mirrors English soccer and that just don't have postseasons at all.
Well, that is...
Obviously, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
But, like, it drives me crazy that a sample size that large that determines the best team in a much, much more accurate representation of the best team then gets thrown into a one-game, three-game, or even seven-game series.
I think they'd still have to shorten the season if they did that because you could get a champion with a month left, and those games aren't going to mean anything.
How often does that happen in Europe? Like, Liverpool's wrapped this up forever ago, right? I mean, they still end up having some. Well, like, think about a few years ago where there were, like, four MLB games of import on the last day of the season that all were happening at the same time and ended up determining the playoffs. This is probably 7 or 8 years ago. Maybe if you shorten the season, that's just my bong sports idea of it really short-circuits me that, like, you played 162 games, and now you have to just throw this to the randomness of 27 outs four times? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, but, and that's, of course, how they used to do it for a long time.
Right.
Until...
Many?
Was it like 1969, the first time they ever expanded it?
Nice.
To not just the two teams from each league will play each other in the World Series? I think so, because that's when they went to four divisions. And then it was only four teams in the playoffs for many, many years. But, you know, this thing is only going one way.
But you
what
may,
about you, Killer? You're a baseball
right
guy.
The players would hate it.
I don't like the seven game. I would prefer a six game.
What?
Six teams, sorry, from both sides.
Oh.
So you have two teams on a bye week. So I think having a bye week for a team is actually really bad, especially in baseball, because you do, you get into a rhythm of the game. And when you have an entire week off, you fall out of that. Look what happened to the Rockies back in, I think, 2008 or something. They got swept by the Red Sox because they had an entire week off of not playing baseball. And then they came in and they had to play a team that was hot because they just got through another series. When you take that time off, it really messes up your team.
Yeah, that's weird. You're only citing one example. Are there many other examples of bye weeks and then the team went on to roll?
There's other examples of – that's just the biggest one I can think of off the top of my head. But there's other examples of teams that have had multiple days off that when the series started, they were completely out of the rhythm. And you can see that the pitchers weren't on their game and neither were the batters.
Intuitively, it does seem to be like baseball is the sport where time off would hurt you the most.
It's also the sport where a one-game playoff makes the least amount of sense, and that's what they've been doing.
That's true.
In the first, or at least to get into the playoffs, right? The first wild card or the last wild card team gets a one-game playoff.
I want to make sure we briefly touch on this Astros story, as the Houston Astros and another tentacle of their sign-stealing scandal is that former Blue Jays pitcher Mike Bolsinger has filed a precedent-setting civil lawsuit against the Astros. He was pitching for the Blue Jays on August 4th, 2017 in Houston, and he got beat up. Four runs, four hits, and three walks in one-third of an inning over 29 pitches. And he said afterward, "I don't know if I've had a worse outing in my professional career." Or he said this recently, "I remember saying it was like they knew what I was throwing. They're laying off pitches they weren't laying off before. They knew what was coming. That's what I thought in my head. I felt like I didn't have a chance." The Astros ended up winning that game 16-7. He has now filed a civil lawsuit in a Los Angeles court accusing the Astros of unfair business practices, negligence, and intentional interference with contractual and economic relations. And it absolutely seems like what they were doing was all those things.
So this is from 2017?
Yeah.
The year in question?
He was sent back to the minors and never came back up the next day.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like if you...
I think I've seen a couple of these on Twitter.
Yeah,
where some writer has pointed out a guy who...
I've seen a couple pitchers themselves do it. Like, they go to that AstrosSignStealing.com and they point at their game where there's a huge spike and they're like, guess who was on the hill this day? And in any other line of work, you would get sued for that. You know, if you meddled in business and cheated and it cost somebody else money, they will get that money back. It's really weird to have it happening in a sports league, and you feel like if you pull the thread,
but
the whole thing unravels.
But this argument of this guy, he obviously didn't pitch well enough to get back to the majors in some other way. He is citing one game that got him knocked out. But let's take a look at his numbers after that elsewhere. Like, did he?
It's Kaepernick's one in 11 year, right?
Didn't ball out.
Yeah. Like, so he's Kaepernick saying he's blackballed a year after he went 1-11.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a great look for your case type thing. But still.
But still, you might argue he might have stuck in the majors. You know, would he have given up five runs that game and not 10 or whatever it was?
All you really have to successfully argue was that they cheated in a game that ostensibly could have cost him money. You don't really have to be able to prove that it would have gone one way or the other. I mean, think about it in terms of regular business. You would get sued for that. And you would have to pay, I would think.
Yeah, I think Danny's right.
Mino?
Good thing nobody cares about baseball.
248 on the ticket.
Good thing we don't care about hockey.
And 96.7 FM, the ticket.
Once again, Bad Radio presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. birthday.
And now, here are your hosts, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
So...
Johnny can't stop vaping. Baker can't stop cheating. All right, it's 2:56. Here's Mino.
Thank you, Jake.
We're all human beings, Jake.
A1 Locksmith brings you Dano.
All right, and here in studio, it is today's version of the Hardline.
Maybe not tomorrow.
What happened to your voice?
I don't know.
We've never seen this version before.
You better get used to that.
No, man.
It'll stop throwing me off soon, I'm sure.
What happened to your voice earlier today when you said the word Danny?
I don't know.
Danny?
Danny makes me verklempt. Anyway, yeah, we've never really seen this version before. So how could it not go well? I've never tasted this soup, but I'm positive that I'm going to love it.
Right. All these foods should work together. Let's
No, don't even come in for a workout. We're fine. I mean, we'll take you at one.
I like chicken, and I like milk. Let's just throw them in the same bowl. It's
milk.
Joaquin's disappointed in you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, it's Corby Davidson. And Bob Sturm.
Bobby.
Hi, Dan.
So now we need that race car guy to say your name.
Oh, yeah. That's Tony Stewart.
Yeah, he's got a name.
We're off to a rousing start.
Hey, race car man.
Hey.
Hey.
Remember the
loser.
Time,
remember say the time Bob's
he,
name.
He killed a guy just having fun on the weekend.
Listen.
Why do you have everybody in your crosshairs right now?
He ran a guy over just out.
On the track?
Funning around at a dirt track.
He's not happy he has to work with me. That's
a long
clear.
Day. Thank you.
It gets
That's
better.
Been clear. It's been clear since the get-go. So today is 2:11. That'll be our day, Jake.
Ah, yes.
2:11.
How about TC finding that email today? Did you guys talk about that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know,
Do you know, Jake?
Don't know it.
Was it like yesterday was the anniversary of your hire date? I think, or today?
I don't. I'm not good at these things, but it was February.
Like, Jake and TC were welcome to the ticket, I think, on February 11th, 2009.
Really?
9 or 10. That sounds right.
Well, it's definitely 2009. It's okay. February 10 or 11 okay, is okay. what I'm... You know how Twitter throws you off when they put at the very top of your feed a tweet from 13 hours ago?
No.
Dude, what about, like, 2 days?
Where have you been?
You asking me, or is that rhetorical?
Where?
This is the kind of stuff that I don't get from
Line
him.
4
I don't
guy.
What's going
I'm
on.
Sorry. I should have said Line 4 guy.
He was here yesterday.
Yes, sir. I was here yesterday.
It's also 69 days to 420.
Nice. Nice.
Wow.
Look at all this.
How do you know that?
Because
good P1
I was,
Alex.
Visiting with Doodlebug.
Hit us up. Told us. I was kind of inspired to get into numerology after the whole Kobe thing.
With all the cash you brought in?
Right. Did you get your Venmo, by the way?
I don't even know. Let me look.
He's so Ty Webb.
So elitist.
$10,000 check?
I
had to overdraft my account
to
pay you
$50.
That's nothing to you.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Light a cigar with
around.
What's it like being in drive time?
Did
Bob,
your
$50?
Did your readers over there
transfer balance? $50. There it is. Okay. You paid
me.
Hang on. Now, am I cool with the transfer?
Oh, you have to accept.
And we're gold.
Did you make it public, Jake?
No, I didn't. I didn't want the language I used public. But I don't think Corby knows how to look at it. So
I do not.
We've lost the opportunity for a bit here.
It's the N-word, Corby.
Again.
It's Tuesday, February 11th, the 42nd day of the year. 324 days are left in 2020, and apparently 69 days before 420.
Right, yep.
It's a sign.
This is the day in 1984. Bob, you like hockey?
Yes.
You're like a hockey guy.
Yes. Well,
that's why he's here.
Wayne Gretzky
on
this day.
4 hours of hockey.
Set an NHL record as he scored his 11th shorthanded goal of the season.
Gracious.
Can you imagine that?
Did he ever go on a streak like Tyler Seguin's on right now with unscoring?
No.
Like, ever.
What if they actually had to use guys with baby arms to score shorthanded goals?
We want good vibes for Tyler, but I should point out his 11th shorthander, I think, equals Tyler's goal total this year, right? That's 11, correct?
Yeah.
Wah, wow. Wah, wah. Were you hitting posts?
You ever wonder if Gretzky's wife won those bets she placed?
Again.
This is Kemp Spin. 3 times in 4 minutes. Now, you may think it's not a gift, but it's absolutely a gift.
I just thought that was pretty amazing. 11 shorties in a season by today, by Feb.
Wait a minute.
By 2:11.
All right, Soroy.
Oh, my God.
By Febby.
By Fabula.
What do you got?
What's going on?
I found your message.
Oh, I thought you had some breaking news.
I found his Venmo message. It took me some time, you see. I'm not familiar with the transfer of money.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were focusing on that and not on this segment. Go ahead.
Can I read this?
Good one, dude. Blow him up.
From Jake. Jake Kemp paid ahead, you $50. Oh, by the way, this is right after I paid you $10 for a nice beer at the Super Bowl. The message is, F you, you are a C. And it's not the good C. It's girl C.
Oh. The other one's a good
What's
one?
What's the good C?
Good C.
Yeah, we love that.
Boy C.
I was emotional.
I'll never send you that text, Corbin.
Thank you.
I meant it.
Wait a minute. Patrick Reeves just paid me $50 for Jake. Hey, anybody else want to pay me an extra $50?
That's
large? But I need it.
Ridiculous.
On this day in 2012, Whitney Houston found dead in a hotel bathtub in Beverly Hills, California, which got me thinking.
And then Kevin Costner came in and picked her up and carried her out.
Who uses a bathtub in a hotel room?
Ooh.
That seems pretty gross.
If they got it, I'm in it.
Ooh.
For sure.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Love a good bath.
Just feel like a hotel bath.
You know how many human asses have been in that tub?
Don't care. At all.
He's an ass man.
And they don't clean those
way. They barely look at them.
That's why I like it.
Does that keep your immune system strong?
You guys don't take baths?
No. No. Public. Never. Like, home bath is different.
Maybe you control one, that. 1 to 2 a year at home.
I've taken one bath in the last 30 years.
No way.
Swear to God.
I'm sorry, Line 4 guy. Did you have... I think you had something.
I said I prefer the human centipede. It's cleaner.
You're playing to one. Bob's sensibilities there.
That's on my list.
It wasn't, but imagine.
Got to put it on the to-do list,
the
Jake.
Public bathtub. Just imagine.
You sleep in the bed.
It's not great. But the linens get washed at high temperatures.
In theory, yeah, those linens are clean.
Especially for you, Corby, the doo-doo at work coalition we've built here.
Yeah.
I would expect you to not be grossed out by that.
I'm not grossed out by it, but I just don't. I just am not a bath guy.
Ooh, man, a little Epsom salt.
Like,
Epsom salt.
It just seems like a lot of time wasted.
You're stewing.
You could be
in
on the
your
couch.
Own filth.
And then I don't like the ring around the tub.
And then, like, the dirt that washes off you, you're like, well, now I'm sitting in it.
Well, you have to rinse off afterwards.
But is the bath...
I don't want to hear it on like cleanliness in the shower you.
Is the bath
trickle down.
About
We're
cleaning,
talking about you now.
Relaxing.
Trickle down.
Yeah, it's not about cleaning yourself. It's not a bath like so you give your infant.
It's
you
have to so grab just a, sitting around with
soak.
A candle.
Do you grab a shower?
Usually a candle.
You grab a shower after your bath then?
Yeah, it's like for 1 minute.
Huh. And then your hands are all wrinkly.
Keep your hands out. You got to keep the vape dry.
When's the last time you had a ring around the tub, though?
I know.
I mean, what are you, 7?
Yeah. Big Ben.
Little House on
I
the Prairie.
I thought that was a drop at first.
No, seriously, though. What are you out playing?
I thought it was a drop.
What are you?
Yeah, man. I sweat.
Oh, you missed some of that potting soil on your legs.
Oh, it's probably from whenever you're mowing your own yard.
If you know what I mean.
You don't think I mow my own yard?
I don't think you mow your own yard, no.
Well, why don't you come over someday and check it out?
I didn't
Just come over and mow it.
I didn't think you had to mow artificial turf.
Corby will buzz you in at the gate.
Don't you just use that, the little black pellets or whatever is in there? The little rubber pellets?
Yeah, well, it looks like Texas Stadium on our side yard.
No, just stare into the facial recognition. It'll let you in.
Bob, on this day in 1990, this is the day that Mike Tyson fought James Buster Douglas.
Yes.
50-1 underdog. Boy, would you go back if you had a time machine and bet big on that?
You'd probably have to.
Or would you go back and tell some girl you loved her or something stupid like Chuck Klosterman said he would do?
Oh, that might have been where I was out.
Is that what he said he would do if he had a time machine?
Yeah, it was in one of his books. Or I think we had him on the show and asked him.
Somebody got mad at me because
in his book it was men would usually do something financial, women would usually do something of the heart. So men would go buy Apple stock or something like that.
So they wouldn't kill Hitler, which was what I would do.
But yeah, then when he was on our show, he told us, didn't he say he would go back and kiss a girl that he wanted to or something that was really sucky answer.
I would go back in time with a drone that had the capability to kill Hitler, who killed so many.
Do you remember where you were when Tyson lost to Buster Douglas?
No, I thought this was a Hitler thing.
Yeah.
That would be Hugo Stiglitz.
Why a drone?
Okay, if you've picked
the... I couldn't get close to him.
I'm an American.
If you'd rather hear the Hitler thought, it would be that... after Jojo Rabbit, my youngest son was given the Hitler hypothetical of the time travel newborn nursery.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Adolf. What do you do?
What's he do?
You plunge a stake through his heart.
Well, he heard it, like, on the playground.
Does he have the mustache?
Does my son have a mustache?
No.
Baby Hitler. Oh, no,
to make it comb more...
No.
Palatable.
But the... It's a really difficult scenario either way, because either you don't or you do, and you got explaining to do if you.
You have to
just tear up the nursery. Well, I assume
Are we still on the radio?
I was going to say, what in the world?
I assume the nursery workers are going to have a problem with you.
Oh, I thought it was like just a moral thing for yourself.
Have you ever wondered how many people?
No, you have to get into the nursery and leave.
Have you ever wondered how many people who were deemed crazy were actually time travelers who were sent back, and they've just killed a baby, but it would have been a genocidal maniac.
Well, how many stories do we have of baby killers?
What a hot conversation.
Oh, you're going to kind of try to run on the...
Happens a lot.
Maybe take it easy on the baby murderers platform and see where that takes it.
What do you know about time travel, sir?
What a great lawyer you would be.
Right. I mean, how do we know he didn't travel from a future land?
And I like that Bob's qualm is having to explain it to the staff at the nursery and not literally murdering an infant.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I could do that.
It would be considerably more taxing on your soul.
You've come to peace with that because
it's Hitler.
You know what he's going to do. But so, Dan,
what if you just kidnapped the infant and brought him back to our time?
Do you have to kill him like in a hardcore way, or can you overfeed him like Jake the other day?
Overfeed him? That's going to take way longer.
Pizzas.
Introduce him to cigarettes.
We're going to give Hitler diabetes.
Yeah.
So
we're playing the long game here.
So you're trying
to take him to Boon Young or what's the
Wuhan.
Boon, yeah, that's the director of Parasite.
Oh, I thought it was the place where they have the coronavirus.
So your plan, though.
Two Asian words this week. Right. One of them a name.
No, I bring him to Nina Pham's apartment.
Oh,
yeah.
So the plan, though, for your law firm, Dan, is to attempt to explain to the jury that this baby is very likely a future dictator.
Yes.
Of the Axis powers.
All we need is one juror.
And he's from Keller.
It's like a newborn. It doesn't sound possible.
Seem impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Jenna Klein wants to wish my awesome husband and the best insurance agent in DFW, Nick Klein, happy birthday.
It's boring.
Feels like plug-ola.
Yeah, a little insurance talk.
Yeah, a little bit.
Who else?
Steve
Who else?
Says happy birthday to longtime Ticket P1 Greg Woods.
On run.
Let that go.
Leaders are Dan, Saroy, and Mike's 14th hallway step.
How many did he take?
Hear the Grego
23?
Song.
Is it 23? I thought it was 26 for the ticket.
For the years?
I thought it was 24 for Kobe.
What if he would have predicted that?
How do you know he didn't?
Oh, wait.
Forgot his keys.
Have you guys been counting? Oh, no.
It's 24. Unless you count like the hiccup step that he had there, where he kind of missed the floor and had a Gregory Hines tap moment.
He was doing like
ball change. After your Super Bowl week, I'm not sure you want to offer walking takes.
That's true.
You had a...
In birthdays, we have Bernie Bickerstaff, Larry Merchant, Jamie Pusher, Barry Church,
Star's
and
great. Jamie Pusher.
Ben Ogilvie. Here, want to give that to Bob?
Whoa.
Okay, sure.
We also have Tina Louise, Tina, 82.
Tina.
You know what?
Cheryl Crow.
I'm willing to give you spares.
Tina Louise Jake. Does not look like she did in 1965. I'm
Damian
just
Lewis.
Letting you know.
Damian Lewis?
Just did.
We're going to sell it. He
and
looks
then
like
let's
Jason
play,
Garrett.
Let's play Who's Hotter? Jennifer Aniston?
Yes.
Jake, or Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
By an Alaskan mile.
We're still doing this.
You kidding me?
How old's Jennifer Aniston?
Jen Aniston, 51.
Ugh.
Sarah Palin, 56. And there's no, like, rhyming word you could use with Jennifer Aniston. Like there is Nalen Palin.
Cramming Aniston.
God.
What?
Cramiston.
You brought it up.
All right, want to do spares? Or are we done with spares?
You think that was her high school
you
nickname?
You want to kill
Jennifer
spares right
Cramiston?
Now?
Cramiston. I mean, you guys are on the road and stuff. That's going to be harder to do.
Yes.
Sure, everybody Slamiston. Knows I'm hanging around in a little bit.
What's going on with the phones?
I'm not sure.
Tony Batie, 44.
We got a
Tech.
Contest. What's going on with the phones?
Kelly Slater, 48.
I don't know.
Surfer, and a damn good one.
Julie's husband.
And you know what? A very maybe the best head I've ever seen.
Kelly Slater?
Yeah. I'm glad you said seen and not gotten.
Jeez,
God.
Dude.
All right,
I don't even know if you can say that,
so.
But it's not
well,
my
I
job
I guess the
anymore.
Producer will have to worry about that.
Welcome to Afternoon Drive, Bob.
Hey.
Here comes Danny.
Wally Richardson is 46. Jacques Vaughn, 45.
Blue chicken.
Point guard.
And
Jennifer.
Did Jacques Vaughn have a swim through here at all?
I think he did.
Did he play hoop anymore?
Yeah.
At all.
At all.
And
hold that thought for 3:30.
Do you play hoop anymore at all?
He did not.
Stick around. And Todd Benzinger, 57.
Jennifer.
There you go. Back to you.
Born on this day, now dead, Boris Pickett, who wrote
Boris
what song,
Zuzak.
Danny?
Boris Pickett?
He wrote and sang The Monster Mash.
That is.
Why didn't you let me guess?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
No.
Also born on this day, now dead, Leslie Nielsen.
He wrote some songs with the Eagles.
With
and
the Eagles.
Burt Reynolds.
Whoa.
I wonder if he looks like
this.
A black Burt Reynolds.
Blurt.
Plus, he looks like a black Burt Reynolds.
Dead
so,
on this day, still
so
dead.
Rhythmic.
Whitney Houston.
Would you have, in her prime,
fetched?
Would you have fetched? Because you know her husband
oh,
had to
for
do
sure.
that.
Jerry Tarkanian.
Sure.
You didn't answer me, Dan.
That's the only time I've ever heard of that, ever.
Ever, in the history of the world.
I'm not sure what fetching is.
She was a little clogged up.
You can use for that. I'm an advocate of drugs.
So were they, just not in that area.
Oh.
Because right. of the drugs they were
and,
advocates
hold on.
For, that's why she was
right,
constipated.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they had the crack. Elvis.
Now, Jake, just want to help you familiarize yourself with the area. There is a dump button right there, if you want it.
Nah.
Just saying.
No way, bro.
That's not for us.
I just see his eyes getting big a few times here in this segment.
I'm looking at Danny like, are
well,
you here?
There's a...
That was a drop.
You don't jump things on other people's shifts.
Right. After three, that's... It's
kind of on you.
And
now you might get in a fight because Dan will protect the dump button right there.
That's right.
You have to stutter step and fake him out.
hit him with the Euro.
Yeah, yeah.
And died on this day, still dead, Sorrel Book.
Boss Hogg.
Superman's dad.
How did he die?
Jor-El.
Five.
Oh.
Four. That's a, three.
A jerk for the, two, joke for the nerds. And
how did Boss Hogg die?
Love it.
He was in real good shape. Was it diabetes? Heart attack?
Basketball. He's out playing basketball.
Oh, he was?
Take care.
Playing hoop. Anymore.